Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm a little bit behind on these, so this week we're going to just go through the week of December 14th through December 20th. And there's not a lot of books, so I'm going to talk about a few things before we start. Over the last couple of weeks, I did buy some back issues, and I want to go over those. So I don't forget them and I can put them into a box and get them. They're already inventoried. And we got Hawk and Dove number 3. So this gets me one issue closer to completing the first volume of Hawk and Dove. I also have another order in place that'll get me the musical Hawk and Dove issues, which was like volume 3 or volume 4. I have to let Harley out. So that'll close out probably at least this month. I'll have every single Hawk and Dove issue. Well, I got one more to go. I think it's issue 5 of Hawk and Dove on the original series. And I got their first appearance in Showcase. I think I mentioned it the last time. And then I got Batman number 184. This has a lot of words on the cover. It says... For 13 jittery nights, the bat signal blazed in the sky. For 13 desperate days, the hotline remained unanswered. Where's Batman and where is Robin? Not even they know. That sounds pretty fucking cool. Another one I've acquired. I still got a lot of work on this title. Batman, I'm getting pretty close, at least to my goal from 1973 onwards, and this one was earlier than that, and I'm going to try to get like all the 12 cent issues on of Batman and the Detective, but we'll see how that goes. This is Metalman number 12, a really nice copy. I can't remember if this is the one that has the, yeah, it does have the an appearance of the Beatles, so that's pretty cool. But on this one, it has the Metal Men on the cover, and it looks like Tina might be dead. And it says, the Missile Men are breaking through. And Led says, leave us, Doc. They're only robots. And he's like, Tina, and he's holding Platinum. She might be dead. That's a pretty cool cover. They're actually using every Metal Men to, like, form this net and hold back these Missile Men. The next one has the Metal Men on the cover. It's issue 28, and it says, Tina destroys herself, and the Metal Men are the sizzling smelter in the startling adventures there. You can't trust a robot. It's a really nice copy. And then outside of the norm, I bought a Chromium cover. These Chromium covers are fairly rare. They have like 4 or 5 issues of the X-Men and Chromium, and they're reprints. And this is from the Marvel Collectible Classics, and it's X-Men. And it has a John Byrne cover. I can't remember which particular issue this is reprinting, but it's a beautiful cover. And then we get into the Flash. I'm really getting a really solid collection of Flash. This is issue 141, which has the top on the top of the cover. And the top is saying, I don't know Flash's civilian identity, but I know his new identity. So that is going to be an interesting one. We then have Flash 158 that says an offbeat thriller. Flash is turned into Green Lantern, Hawkman, Aquaman, and the Atom in the one-man Justice League. That's a backup story. And then the first story, it says, he moves his body there, everywhere, leaving Flash nowhere. Battle against Breakaway Bandit. And it looks like he could, like, separate his head and his torso and everything. So every time Flash goes to punch him, it goes away. This is one of my favorite covers. This is Flash 206. It actually has, like, a plane shooting a woman out of the sky like a missile. And she's wearing bell-bottoms and a pink, outfit and headband, and she says, now do you believe I cannot die, as she crashes into the cement right in front of Flash. And it says, featuring 24 hours of immortality. And then this one also has a girl on the cover. She looks like she's rollerblading. It's Flash 211, and it says, not even the fastest man on earth can catch up to Colossal Kate. A roller derby thriller, flashing wills. Plus a Golden Age Flash Classic, which is always cool because those are hard to come by. And then I just got a series of The Adventures of the DC Universe. I missed this. This is a fairly current book. This is from 97. Of all the books that I usually miss that are current, it's either stuff that's out of the mainstream. This was like an animated style all ages book, and I skipped it. Decided I needed to include it because it is DC in my goals. So it's The Adventures in DCU, and I got a handful of them. The covers are pretty awesome, and I look to complete that very, very soon. Let's see what else we got. We got the annual also from The Adventures in the DCU. And then finally, last but not least, this book was originally captured in a Treasury edition, but this is a reprint of it. And it's Superman, it's Marvel and DC Present Superman and Spider-Man. It's got the gold binding around it. It is like the second reprint of it in comic book size format. And it's a team up between Superman, Spider-Man with the villains of Doctor Doom and Parasite. So those are cool issues that I've acquired. And before we get into the list, hopefully I have the statistics for that. I've been pretty lazy. Yeah, I got the statistics for that month. I'm going to talk briefly about the comic process. what does that mean? That's the comic process for a hardcore collector. I've changed my process recently. And it was always bass-ackwards and my archiving, because what I used to do is it used to go into the database after I read it. But I get a lot of comic books, and I was finding that I wasn't inventorying everything. It was harder to inventory what I had, even though I knew where it was. It was harder to know what I had. So when I get comic books, which is like, you know, 250 comic books a month, monthlies. The first thing I do is I sort them, and I put them in all the DCs, all the Marvels, and all other. And the others are sorted by publisher. So, you know, I start with like the Archies or whatever is before Archie, and then go to the Avatars, and then I sort in alphabetical order, and then work my way all the way up to Zenoscope. And then I go through the Marvels and do the same thing in alphabetical order and the DCs, and I form three piles. I then take the Marvels and I peel off the digital codes so I can claim them in case I want to read them on the iPad at night in the middle of the night. And I load them into the Marvel redeem code. So I redeem those codes. And then what I do is I take my scanner, I open up Comic Base, I scan all of the books in. I go bloop, 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 bloop. Occasionally there's some that don't scan in and I have to manually enter. The scanner seems to have some kind of problem with certain IDW books and I can't figure that out. But other than that, most of the publishers just scan right in. They're all inventoried. They're saved. I then compress my database so it's faster. And after I do that, I'll check for any updates on the database so it like downloads the latest covers and all that good stuff. I then place them all in Mylar and halfbacks from eGerber.com, and I've run out of them just because I've been buying more than I've been able to keep caught up, and I didn't want to place an order before the holidays and have to worry about shipping because I knew I wasn't going to be at the house all the time. So I put a hold on it. Now I'm out of bags and boards, which really sucks because it's hampering my process just a little bit. And then some of the other stuff that I do after I put them is I put them in the unread pile. They're unread boxes, and I merge them into the unread boxes, same by DC, Marvel, and other. And they get merged. And there's quite a few boxes of unread books, and they're in the basement, and I get them in there and file them. And then I read books, and as I read them, I ensure that they were entered in the database. Just do a double check, so make sure I archived it in there. I put it in my list where I rank them. I then usually put stuff in Facebook and Twitter on what I read, and then I actually tape them at that time. I tape the bag on the top so they're sealed. and then I put them into the red boxes and then do form the merge. A lot of questions came up on Facebook and such as, what is the merge? Well, the merge, I hate, of all the process, I hate the merge the most. And I know a lot of people that just say, fuck it, I'm not going to merge. But then I lose track of where everything is, because then things aren't exactly where I want, like in library format. And I don't know, like, where my old flashes are as opposed to the new flashes, if they're archived by order of reception. So what I usually do, and I do it very infrequently, but I do it, is I'll merge the books into each other. So like I might have three boxes with Flash for the last 4 months, and then I go through the process of, okay, I need to create a Flash box, and then I grab all the Flashes and I put them in and I merge them by number, and then I'll do Green Lanterns. The why this process is so extensive is when you do a merge, you have to shift and have empty boxes available because boxes fill up as you start stacking them. And I use drawer boxes. The other thing I've added to my process in the drawer boxes is that I didn't have before is drawer boxes have anchors now. And the anchors allow you to anchor boxes together, so when you pull them out of the drawer, they don't move at all. So I do the anchor process. The anchor process is pretty extensive, at least for somebody that has short arms, and stuff, because you have to have the box assembled, and then you have to take the box apart if it's already assembled, and you put the pin in on the sides before the insert is put in, which is the exosil, so you can start stacking them. And then you pin them together, and at that very first pin that you have to click it 4 times, it's very hard to do. Once you got that first one done, everything's lined up and you just go bing, you do it. It takes a while, and you pitch them together and then you assemble them and then you add another box. I usually anchor 4 boxes at a time, just because it's easy that way. And the merge is like you have to have available empty boxes, so you slide an empty box out, and then you make room for titles, and it's basically a bunch of shift of titles. So if you have one box that goes like A through D, and it starts to fill up, you have to take some of those D titles and move them into the next empty box, and then shift that one over and shift it into the next box. So it's a really pain in the ass process, but I have to do it every now and then just to keep things in some kind of order. And I have a pretty good process in place for like all new books, but I still have a ton of long boxes in the old style, which I don't like. What I mean is they're the ones with the lids on them, and they're stackable, but you can't access them easily. So those ones I probably won't ever merge until I have time or retire. Gotta let Harley in. So that was some topic that I wanted to discuss, is like the process. So I use drawer boxes from collectiondrawerboxes.com, I believe the site is. I use bags and boards from egerber.com. And I get comic books from dcbs.com and my comic shop. So there's quite a bit of stuff that I do. Back issues, I usually go to mycomicshop.com or Atomic Avenue, and then eBay, usually in that order. So yeah, oh, and the back issues at my comic shop. He's the specialist in back issues, and he gives me huge discounts. So like if a book is graded and he marks it at $30, he usually gives it to me for $15. So I get really good discounts on the back issues, and that's where I've been getting a lot of these ones that I've been mentioning, is from Ed's Cards and Comics. Really, really good guy, really good shop. Been a customer there, but DCBS, the discounts are just so high and so worthwhile, it allows me to buy a lot of comic books. Whereas if I was going to the comic shop and getting this, I'd be able to get half of what I usually get. So that's why I go to DCBS, and DCBS's service is just like top quality to me. I mean, even when they've messed up a couple orders, they fix it immediately. they're just a quality. Their quality control is some of the best. Actually, in terms of customer service and reliability, they're better than my local shop. That's why I went there, especially for independents. I like get all these weird obscure titles from the back of previews, and DCBS never lets me down. It's always there. It's always in good shape. Everything is all hunky dory. You could also get bags and boards directly from them, but I choose to buy them in bulk of 1,000. It's a lot cheaper. So I'm taking a sip, and on without further ado, I am going to cover the books for 12:14 through 12:20, and there wasn't a lot that week. This was the week before Christmas, and it was like you got to wrap up, you got to wrap up buying stuff. You got to take care of stuff. You got to finish up all your projects on work before you go on vacation. And I didn't get to read a lot. There was only 12 comics in that week. We had one Valiant, seven Marvel, three DC, and one Dark Horse. And we had no 3 out of 5s, no 2 out of 5s, or 1 out of 5s. So everything was in I love it or I really like it range, using the Netflix ratings. So we'll start from the bottom and work our way up to the top. The first one at 4 out of 5 was Wrath of Eternal Warrior, number 2. This one continued in his journey in hell, where he's reunited with, and well, I'll say this journey in the afterlife instead of hell specifically, because it's never really called out. At least I don't believe it is. It's someplace in the afterlife, and that is where he is, and he's reunited with one of, some of his family. I don't think this is the same family that we saw in the first Eternal Warrior series, where he had that brother and sister. That one really interests me. This one is kind of slow paced. There's a lot of backstory on the character, which is great. There's a lot of stuff about his death and how he needs to get out of it, but it is not clicking with me in terms of the character, because I'm one of the very few, just based on like podcasts and forums, and I mean not forums, but more like Facebook groups, that really enjoyed Eternal Warrior, the Greg Pak. I really liked it. I liked where he was going, and I liked how they bounced the second arc into the future. And then I liked the miniseries that Peter Milligan did. I really liked the miniseries, and I don't know if why how I latched onto it so much, but I think it's because I sat down and I read all 4 issues, back to back to back, and it just flowed like really well. And there was no like miss this month, miss that month, and then have me forget anything. It was just one, condensed read, and I absolutely loved it. So this is my least favorite, but it's still, I really like it. So even though it's the lowest, it's still really high. It's still not in that 3 out of 5, which is I like it. It's I really like it. So the next one is Trinity of Sin. This is features the Question, Pandora, and Phantom Stranger. And if those who know me know, I absolutely love Phantom Stranger, and I'm going to always. Even the bad ones I love, just because the character, I just like to know so much about his history and stuff. And Trinity of Sin is the weakest of the series that have all these characters. We had the Pandora series. I really liked that one more. And then we had the Phantom Stranger, and it tied in with some Justice League Dark, and those are like awesome. And especially Phantom Stranger's like one of my favorite New 52 books, period. I mean, I put that up against anything, especially if you like to read some really in-depth storytelling, especially that has religious connotations. It's like so good. So I'd recommend Trinity of Sin of those if any of those characters appeal to you. The question's very different than the question that was in the 90s, so you'll just have to adjust. But he's still very interesting in the new incarnation. Pandora was introduced in the New 52. She's really interesting, but the Phantom Stranger is where it's at. A matter of fact, I don't think the Phantom Stranger, and I've read a lot of Phantom Stranger, has ever been as good as I've been enjoying it in the New 52. And I think it's because of all those religious things that I was talking about. It just gets you thinking, and it makes the character extra fascinating that he's Judas. They've kind of implied in the pre-52 that he might be Judas, but they never said he was, and he wore the coins that he was paid to betray Jesus Christ on his neck. But really good story. Really, I absolutely love it. Detective Comics 492. This was a Harvey Bullock story. Oh no. This 492. What the fuck am I talking about? This isn't New 52. This was another back issue that I read of Detective Comics, and now I'm gonna have to pull it up because I don't remember. This was a couple weeks ago, so I have to pull it up and see which one it is that I read. 452. Once I see the cover, I'll recall it. Now again, I'm going to Comic Base. The thing about Comic Base is, yeah, you pay for it, but it is the best, especially for large collections. And plus, I can mouse over any number and see what the cover is. Also, know everybody who wrote it and all that such. There's no better database. Once you get it, you will love it. Oh, this was a dollar comic. I remember reading this one. This was where you had like almost 80 pages of story, and this had to do when Batgirl was quitting. It had an awesome Man-Bat story. I covered this in detail in it's one of the books that I read for the other show I do, the Retrocast, and really good story. It had a Robin story that was really good. The Man-Bat story was very interesting, and the Batgirl and Batman stories, there was two of them back to back that were really, really good. Some of the writers were Bob Haney, Kerry Burkett, Barbara Zachis, and Jack C. Harris. So yeah, it was really cool storyline. Highly recommend it. And moving up, we had Captain America, Sam Wilson, number two. This is the second one, also continuing from the first one where he's on the plane and dealing with all those plane guys as the Captain America's flying in coach. I really enjoyed this series, and it gave a lot of backstory of where he is within SHIELD and why he was quitting and where he had to be and how he relates to Misty Knight and everything. It was a really good story. I really enjoy it. I continue to enjoy that particular title. Nick Spencer, I think, is one of the better writers when he's writing. Like, I absolutely fell in love with his Thunder Agents. It blew my fucking mind. Like, I'll always remember his Thunder Agents. He's also done a lot of Image books and other stuff that I've really enjoyed. And now he's at Marvel doing quite a few things like Ant-Man and Captain America, and I really enjoy it. We have Invincible Iron Man number three. This was another really good one as he's dealing with Madame Mask stealing technology and shit from all over, and him and his relationship with Doctor Doom. And this one was really good. And the future one, I think I read number four. I didn't care for it because it was all just like one big fight scene, even though they introduced Mary Jane, but that's for another episode. We have Aquaman Secret Files number one. This was giving a lot of the origin stories and stuff about Aquaman. It was really, really good. I enjoyed it. The other one was The Occultist. This was a book that was released that has a few series of it. This was a one shot. That it was a weird one shot though, because it ends on like there's going to be another issue, but it's there's not. I think there's a mini series before and a mini series after. And this is a Dark Horse character. I'll get you the creators because I, matter of fact, I'm gonna go back and seek out more occultists because this issue just, I really dug it. And the other thing I dug about this, and I don't know if it was intended by them, it's by Tim Seeley and Mike Richardson. Mike Richardson is kind of like one of the CEOs or whatever of Dark Horse. And Tim Seeley, you know, like he does Grayson and he does a lot of DC stuff, Batman, Batman and Robin, Eternal, a couple other things that he's doing. Plus, he does his own stuff, Hack Slash, all kinds of other stuff. The artist is Victor Drujinu, and this is about a guy that, gets occult powers, and it's really cool the way it's written. And he's got a girlfriend, and he's breaking up with his girlfriend, and all kinds of other stuff. Makes you really attached to the character. Makes you really interested for what is to come. If you're interested in that one shot, there's a second and third series. The second series is a 3-issue arc, which I don't own, but I want to get it now. And the third series I've already read, and so I'm kind of going backwards now, and reading the third series is 5 issues, and it's also by Tim Seeley with art by Mike Norton. So that was done in 2013. But that first issue, one thing I really loved about it is that it had the same style of cover. Like, they had this distinctive cover style that they had with when they were doing the Gold Key characters. So you had like Magnus, young Samson, you had Mighty Samson, sorry. Young Samson was a cartoon character. You had that, plus you had Turok and Solar. And those Dark Horse books I really dug, and this one kind of like had the same imprint, even though it wasn't a Gold Key character. It's like a creator-owned property that they put the same emblem on, even though this was just a one-shot. But it was a really good one shot, and like I said, it's something that I want to get in the future. So now then we jump into the 5 out of 5s. There was only one for that week, and it was Amazing Spider-Man: Renew Your Vows. I really enjoyed this book from an art perspective and a story perspective. It was just amazing. It's like an Elseworlds where Peter has a family, and this one Monarch guy is taking over, and he captures all the superheroes and then puts them into like a computer based until he sucks all their powers out, and he can manifest any of those powers until they're 100% drained. Once they're 100% drained of their powers, they're dead. And he can't access that power source. And why he's doing that is he wants to take on Doom. So he's killing superheroes left and right. And if you don't turn your mutant kids in, or kids with powers, or anything, or yourself in, he'll go after you. And he's got the Sinister Six and all the other, Spider-Man villains working for him that'll go after him. And they find out about his daughter, and he has to protect her, and it's a really, really, really good series. Dan Slott, and I think one of the Kuberts did the art. But that was Spider-Man: Renew Your Vows, 5 out of 5, from Marvel Comics, so issues 3 through 5. So that's the breakdown of how the comics work that month. I also want to do a shout out. I really appreciate Martin from Valiant Central leaving an iTunes review, and also Chris Campbell, who's my co-host on the Valiant podcast, saying that he really enjoys listening to these Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's one of his favorite single host podcasts, which is a big honor to hear. And I'm glad that there are people that enjoy it. I'm not sure what the numbers are. Like I said, I never know what the numbers are. So if you don't tell me you're listening, I'll never know. I know there's a handful of people that enjoy the show, and that's enough for me to keep doing it. So thank you for your feedback, and thank you for taking the time to leave iTunes reviews. And they actually helped the show invisibility. And we've gotten like 4 just for Mike M's Weekly Reads, which is awesome. So if you want to leave an iTunes review, go to iTunes if you use it and search for Geek Brunch. And you can click there and then, leave a rating and a review, a little write-up if you could. I'd really, really appreciate it. If not, and you enjoy the show, if you could just let me know either through email at mike@comicbooknoise.com, or you can tweet me at Mike Myers Brunch, at Mike Myers Brunch, or you can just retweet the show threads that I post out every time I post them on Twitter or Facebook. And then on Facebook, you can also find this at Geek Brunch Podcast. If you type that into the search window, it'll take you there, and you can click the like button. And that's about it. And until next time, we'll talk to you soon. And thank you for everything. Bye. Happy New Year.